is a continuation of last Sunday evening's lesson. We kind of got started on the lesson. That's Dennis leading Sing and Be Happy, and we're going to talk about discouragement. This evening. There may be some leftover outlines in the song rack from last Sunday evening. Last Sunday evening, you just got through the introduction and the five Bible stories that I told of Bible people who have been discouraged. Recognizing that discouragement or just being down and out happens to all of us at some time. Because if it hasn't hit you yet, it will. If you have it, discouragement, you can get over it. If you've had it in the past, you need to be aware because you can get it again. That's kind of discouraging, isn't it?
Amen.
With all those thoughts. But last week, again, we just looked at some Bible people that were discouraged. And you would think God's people or God's selected people certainly would or might have some more freedom or just kind of go through life without a lot of bumps and bruises. But we noted last week, we told you the story of Elijah battling the 450 prophets of Baal, the sacrifices, and then when God answered Elijah's sacrifice by fire and the others ran away, then Elijah hears about Jezebel wanting to take his life. You know, I don't know about you, if you've ever had a woman threaten you with an inch of your life. I have. I'm married. So that happens, you know. I remember a song about 40 years or so ago, about 45. I'm not sure if it's Creedence Clearwater or who it was, but it says, going down the road carrying a heavy load, seven women on my mind. Three to want to own me, three to want to stone me, and only one says she's a friend of mine. You know, sometimes like we feel like Elijah. You know, our life is being threatened. That's discouraging. Mentioned Jonah. He was going to preach to Nineveh and the enemy nation, and they repent. And he was discouraged over that, that God spared that nation from destruction. Jesus preaches a powerful lesson to a multitude of people, and some of them thought that that was a hard saying, and they began to leave. You have an audience, you're either a Bible class teacher or a preacher, or you're just talking to someone else, trying to present a message of truth, and then they close their ears, or they just, in Jesus' situation, they left. Of course, Jesus asked the disciples, "Will you also go away?" Of course, Peter said, "No, to whom shall we go? You know, thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe that you are that Christ, that Messiah." John the Baptist, you'd think surely he's not going to be discouraged. He was God selected to be a forerunner of Jesus, introduced Jesus. And he did that, prepared the way. And when Jesus baptized Jesus, Jesus goes by and John points his disciples to Jesus. "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Then John is arrested and thrown in prison for his preaching. And then he sees some disciples go by, and so he calls them over to his prison window and said, "Would you go see Jesus and ask him if he really is the Christ?" "Oh, John, just because you're in prison, you begin to have doubts? Things aren't going well for you?" Of course, Jesus sent back the disciples and said, "You just tell John about the things that you have seen and heard." Then David, Psalm 42, "My soul is cast down," down and out. And that's the way we get. Sometimes we have those blahs or those blues. We're out of sorts, disheartened. We have the wind knocked out of our sails, so to speak, or we're just about ready to give up for various reasons. And that's where our lesson is this evening. The start of just many things can cause discouragement. I've just listed five. You can add to that list, I know. Things that cause discouragement. You may have more than one of these at the same time. But number one, I just put just hardships in daily living, and that was our lesson this morning in the worship hour. Looked at all the hardships, the discouraging things that were happening in the life of Paul, and we wondered, Paul, how did you get through that? What were the things that made you capable or able of remaining faithful. And so Paul had reasons to be discouraged, but through it all he maintains his faith, continues his work, and he becomes an example for us. So yes, there certainly are hardships in daily living. But Paul also said in Philippians 4, verse 9, those things which ye both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. That's what I want. Paul, I see all of your hardships, your difficulties, and you're staying faithful. You keep preaching with boldness. I want to be able to do that when I experience troublesome times. So he said, look at me. Look at me. He sets himself up as the example. And that's sometimes what happens when you and I go through difficult times, realize or recognize that others may be watching us to see how we handle the situation. And when we go through a troublesome time successfully, others may look at us, they say, if Brian can do it, I can do it too. And then one other benefit of troubles and trials when we go through them successfully is if we've gone through one and another trial comes, we say, I got through one, I can go through this one too. So there's sometimes benefits or blessings in troubles and trials. So yes, we're going to have troublesome times that are discouraging. Second, maybe it's an extended illness. Look at the prayerfully remember list in our bulletin. We have people, you know, in our congregation that are going through long series of illness. That's discouraging. We need to find ways to rally to their side, to be encouraging and uplifting in troublesome times. Sometimes when, you know, I've had an illness, I'm thinking, I don't have time for this. I have work to do. And that's discouraging, illnesses are. So we need to rally and support and aid others. Number three, it might be the death of a loved one. We have a member in our congregation right now going through that. Don's brother passed away last weekend. Sister, not brother, sister. You have a brother that's not doing well.
And another
sister. So yet that's discouraging. Psalm 147, verses 1 and 3 says, praise ye the Lord. It's good to sing praises to our God. He heals the broken heart. He does. So yes, we're going to be discouraged, especially when there's death of a loved one. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18, Paul recognizes that and he offers words of comfort about the coming of second coming of Jesus. And he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words, because the brethren were concerned about those in their family who had passed on. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, blessed be God, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. That, so here God gives us comfort. Then Paul continues, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted. So we are discouraged and we've been blessed with comfort. There's a blessing in that, that we are capable, that we are able to comfort others who are going through similar situations. Number four, I put sometimes friends turning on us. Well, that's discouraging. In Psalm 41, verse 9, the psalmist said, yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Uh-oh. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, the Apostle Paul said, Demas has forsaken me. Forsaken. Yeah. Having loved this present world. So there'll be times in your life and mine when we're experiencing one of these situations or more, or a couple of them at the same time. About diminished or blighted hopes and dreams. You know, we sometimes say things just didn't turn out the way I thought or the way I hoped they would. My cherished plans have gone astray. Didn't get the job I wanted. or grow business as fast as I hoped? Got laid off my job? People I counted on moved away? I just expected something different. Oh, didn't turn out that way. Might even say, oh, the other people seem like they have all the luck. So our dreams or our hopes sometimes diminished. Life is passing me by. I think I can take my car in for an oil change and they're not going to find anything else wrong with it. I had big dreams I could get out for 1995. not a chance. I put that car in there, the first thing they do is take all the wheels off. I just want an oil change. But they look and hunt for something else. So there's different things in life. You know, your life and mine. You can add to this list, I know. You know, if we went around the room, we'd be here till midnight. Next week. So I know. So the lesson is simply on this particular point. Yes, there's times of discouragement, and God's people suffer the same thing. Then we have to come to this last part. How do I overcome the discouragement? Just like we looked at our lesson this morning about Paul's troublesome times. About Paul, how did you maintain faith when you had to go through all of that? And remember, that pile was high that we read about. Well, number one, I suppose you can add to this list too, but just get up and get out and do something for someone else. You'll just get busy. People say that to each other all the time. This is not new. You know, people I know feel better when they start marking things off their to-do list. I do. You know, I have that to-do list. Oh, I got that. Sometimes I just add things on there and cross it off that I did yesterday just so I can cross something off. Number two, work in pairs. That was in our lesson this morning. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that's alone when he falls. Oh, yeah. For he has not another to help him up. And we have an expression, you know, many hands make light work. Work together. Eliminate some discouragement. Number three, keep your eyes on the greater goal. You try to say this many times in life just to encourage each other in general Christian living. Look beyond the present. Because the expression I saw years ago is on one of those signs outside. It was outside Sweetwater High School on their marquee. And the phrase was, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. That's right. Obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. You think the first-year college student has to look beyond all the years that it takes to get the diploma. It's discouraging. This is my first year, and I have three more to go, or five in my case. You get discouraged when you just look at the present moment. No, I'm going to stay in this and hang in there because I'm looking forward to the degree, to the end result. And so sometimes when you're discouraged, look past the current or the present situation. You know, any task has to look to its completion. Otherwise, it's going to become drudgery. Same thing in Christian living. You think, oh, look at all we have to do, and you look at the list in our bulletin of people that need assistance or need help, and you're going to think, it's too much. No, you look beyond. Look to the end, the finished product, and that will help to keep us going and not be so discouraged. You know, preparing this sermon took longer than I thought it was going to. I was discouraged. But you keep plugging, and then when it's finished, oh, I feel better now. Number four, take a break for a while. In Mark 6, verse 30, the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Jesus said to them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. And just been involved in lots of ministry and service and teaching. And Jesus said, let's stop for a moment, a while. We rest from physical work. We strive to take breaks from the routines of life. And so when you're discouraged, go somewhere and rest, and then come back to work. Be not weary in well-doing. So you can be tired from work, but don't be tired of work. Saw this in a newspaper. It was care for the caregiver. I'm going to read it all, just a paragraph. A lady named Mary Dudley knew that nursing her 93-year-old mother back to health after a stroke would be difficult, but she wasn't prepared for the toll it would take on her own health. We've been through that. You know, I have. Care for a mother-in-law, a lot of us. It doesn't have to be someone older like my mother-in-law was. You could be caring for someone younger. But in this situation, she said, I felt overwhelmed. I had no idea how stressful and what an emotional drain it would be, said the 67-year-old University City resident. I was always exhausted. I couldn't eat or sleep. I lost a lot of weight. And if I wasn't depressed, I was headed in that direction. So then he gets a little thing about the statistics and studies. And it says the family caregiver gets so busy attending to their loved one that they don't take care of their own health. Jesus said it first before these health people recognized it. Jesus said, you know what, apostles? You've been busy doing this, going this way and that way. Stop. Stop. For your own health. Rest a while. Caregivers don't always realize they're under more stress than usual and think they're just doing what they need to do. But caregivers have to take care of themselves. It's why you put the airline in the images, the airline oxygen mask on yourself first. Remember that rule? You know, there's an emergency situation. Take care of yourself first so that you are able to take care of somebody else. If you don't take care of yourself first, you won't be available to take care of others. And the article goes on. Number five, I put in your notes, talk to yourself. In an uplifting manner. I know I went to a seminar one time, and the man that was leading the seminar says, how many of you here talk to yourselves? And half the hands went up, and you could see the other people going, do I talk to myself? I don't know, talking to the neighbor, do I talk to myself? There was in the Bible in Matthew 9, verse 21, I think it's Mark. There was a woman with an issue of blood who could have said, you know, it's no use. This woman could have said, nothing's going to work out. Things are not going to change. She could have said to herself, I'll never get better. Really, all the negative comments, she could have done that, but she didn't. She said within herself, talk to yourself, if I but touch his garment, I shall be whole. So when you talk to yourself, talk in an uplifting manner. I do that when I play golf with Don and Dennis. I talk to myself. Get ready to hit the golf ball. You can do this, Brian. You can do this. They can't, but you can. I talk to myself when I'm preparing sermons, typing an outline, or walking for exercise. I don't get to talk to myself very much then because I don't walk for exercise very often. Talk to yourself. Number six, be perpetually optimistic. And I don't mean Pollyanna. I'm not saying, you know, put your head in the clouds and ignore reality. But we even have a phrase, you know, every cloud has a silver lining. We have all of these slogans or mottos in life to get us through troublesome times because troublesome times are not eliminated. So we have these phrases to help us get through. Everything will be all right tomorrow. Those kinds of things. I heard the story of two shoe salesman They went to a remote island in the Pacific. One of them called back to the home office and said, there's no market here, nobody wears shoes. The other one calls back to home office and says, the market is unlimited, no one wears shoes. So it's the way you look at things. Be optimistic. Number seven, the situation causing discouragement may be temporary. Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So again, look beyond the current cause of discouragement and see the silver lining. See its completion. The last one I put was pray. Pray. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Our task and our mission, not only take care of ourselves, but again in this lesson, striving to look at others who may be discouraged too. And the last verse I'll read is Hebrews 12, verse 12. Lift up the feeble hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Hebrews 12, 12. Lift up the feeble hands which hang down, discouragement, and the feeble knees. And again, this is the words of a song, hymn number 800. I'll read the words. The title of the song is What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 800. And the words can begin, what a friend we have in Jesus. And here's the reasons why. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Second stanza. Have we trials and temptations? Yeah. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In the last stanza. Are we weak, heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. So, lessons on discouragement this evening. Always, again, when we assemble together for worship, at the close of the lesson, we sing a song of invitation, song of exhortation, song of encouragement. And if you're here this evening and not a member of the New Testament Church, there's a simple plan or formula or ingredients or steps that we many times say. And the first thing you need to do in order to have your sins forgiven or become a Christian is to hear the Word of God. You know, Romans 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? So you need to hear. Jesus in Matthew 11, verse 30 says, come and learn, come unto me and learn of me. So you need to know God's Word. Second, you'll need to believe it, that God so loved the world he sent his Son. And Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. And number three, you'll want to repent of your sins. Jesus said it, Luke 13, verse 3. But except you repent, you shall all like manner perish. And then you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son. The Ethiopian did that when Philip preached unto him Jesus. And he said, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So we make a confession of our faith, our belief. And then when that takes place, just as Philip did with the Ethiopians, he stopped the chariot. And they both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. So that's that plan, that formula, those are the necessary ingredients for one to become a Christian, to have new life in Christ, where old things are passed away and all things become new. And from this point on, once you're baptized, then we begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's always the invitation. If you want to respond to that, that's your resolve, just need to let it be known. So let's stand together and sing.